buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled out to my Chevrolet, I climbed down up inside.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. I hope your Saturday's a good day, started out good for you. And hopefully your car's not broken, but if it is, we think we can help you. My name is Mark Salem. The name of this show is Under the Hood here on Intelligent Talk, The Patriot, 960 AM. And if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. And now's the time to call because the lines are wide open. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Why is that important? Well, it's important because he's a full service and he is a family-owned and operated shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Larry Harker's Auto is a trusted name in quality and affordable automotive service and maintenance in the Phoenix area. Folks, Larry Harker, I have this hole in my entire city area where I don't have a lot of shops. South of Indian School and west of the I-17, it is really barren finding really great shops. I got a good tire store, S&S Tire, and then I've got Larry Harker's. And believe me, if you live in that west side area, actually south of Campbellback maybe, even further north than that, Bethany Home Road south, then Larry Harker's is the place I would recommend. And you can find all my recommendations on MarkSalem.com. This Saturday, I thought, well, I better get a co-pilot. So Tom Fletcher from Thunderbird Automotive is sitting next to me. How you been, buddy?
I've been great, Mark.
All righty. First of all, let me ask you a question. What did your mother call you?
Jigs.
Did she really?
Yes.
Jigs?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. And because everybody with Tom, it seems to me, has a different name.
Absolutely.
It just everybody just goes by something different. Now, there's a story behind Jigs. You want to tell us, or are you scared that all your buddies are listening?
I'm scared.
I bought my house from a guy named Jigs.
Really?
Yeah. He was an old cowboy. And he was, I think, a baseball coach or a football coach here in the Valley for, you know, many, many years. Uh-huh. And he's passed on, but he was a great guy. I really liked him.
Right.
All right, so, Tom, you've got two Thunderbird Autos. You've got one on Grand and Reams.
Correct.
And that's in Surprise. Uh-huh. Where's the other one?
Our other one is in Peoria on 88th Avenue in Thunderbird, which my partner runs over there.
And that's Gary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm real proud to have both your shops on our list for a variety of reasons. First of all, like all the other shops, you guys just take care of business. You know, it's not a problem, and I'm really proud because when customers are mad at one of my shops, they're not wound up tight. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It wasn't like they were thrown off the property and now.
Right.
But it's been a long, long time, years since we've probably talked about any customer issues. But the proof of the pudding is that we've never been through arbitration. None of our shops, including your own, including all of them, that's never even been through arbitration at the Better Business Bureau, which means we're settling them real early.
Correct.
But certainly the last year has presented customer problems for all of us. I think business in general.
Absolutely.
And likewise, we're the same. So I want you to pretend like a hypothetical issue. You have a hypothetical customer complaint. What matters, what information determines what you're going to do?
Well, primarily it's what the customer concern is. Okay. What the major thing they're talking to you about is what happened and whatever. So you definitely want to address that first.
Okay.
You want to make sure that you're listening to what they're telling you and what the problem or the issues are about what they're talking about. Once I derive at that, then I address that no matter what with them. Try and settle that right up front.
Okay.
And get it on a one-to-one basis and handle that, because sometimes they don't understand what you did or exactly what happened, and sometimes you have to explain it in a little bit better depth. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of just taking the time with the customer to explain that to them and make sure you answer all their questions and that they do understand them.
Okay. The other side of the coin, some of the shop owners would say when I've asked them this, and actually I kind of subscribe to this too, the first question other shop owners ask is, do I want to keep them? And I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because when you think about that, do I want to keep you? Because it's, and I said to them, well, when do we get to who's right and who's wrong? And he goes, there is no right and wrong.
Correct.
It's just, do I want to keep you? Now, if you've been in four times and every single time we've had a dispute, then the question, do I want to keep you, is answered.
Correct.
On the other hand, if you've been in 20 times and you're a grandpa and your kids and their grandkids, oh, that's mine, and I'm embarrassed to say that's mine. I guess I should have shut the phone off. And you've got yours off too, right?
That is.
Okay, all right. The idea is that we're if you've been in a whole bunch of times and you're complaining about whatever it is, but I want to keep you.
Absolutely.
Then who's right or who's wrong has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
No.
And when I heard that, I kind of subscribed to that because I was impressed that really kind of hones it in for everybody.
Right.
And whether or not they decide to do that or not is certainly not my issue, but it certainly does make an issue of what are we going to do when we get to the point that that we just don't want you anymore. Now, one of my good friends told me one time, he said, no matter how hard you try to get rid of that 5% or 3% or 1% that makes your hair go gray and makes you roll your eyes when they walk in your lobby, you're never going to get rid of them. He says they're going to be there no matter what. He says, and when you get rid of one, you'll think you'll get rid of it, but you don't know that God's going to give you another one in the next 24 hours.
True.
And that is true.
That is true.
You know, you just that single digit, he calls it the single digit expense. All righty. Tell me about the history of Thunderbird Autos. You guys have been in business since when?
1977.
Okay. You got your start working on cars as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Both my partner and I started out at Firestone back in the early 70s.
Okay.
And both worked there for quite a long time. And then I left and went to an independent company. And then my partner stayed with Firestone. And then eventually we met up together, went into the landscaping business out of the automotive for about 3 years, and then ended up buying Thunderbird Automotive.
Good for
you. Went back in it.
Now, do you ever feel like you'd like to go back and let somebody else worry about closing time?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, I know how you feel.
Yep.
I know how you feel. I spent 10 years as a policeman, and sometimes I wonder, sometimes I kind of think maybe I made a mistake.
Well, I never had any complaints out of the lawn.
Yeah. No, that's the truth. Okay, we've got an automotive caller. If you'd like to join us, you can. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Okay, Jeremy. I missed the name.
His name is Dick.
Hey, Dick. Good morning to you. How can I help you today?
Good morning today. I was wondering what success you might have seen with folks try to take an R12A system and convert it to the current refrigerant.
Tom, talking about what's the success rate from taking somebody out of the 12 Freon and moving it to the 134 Freon? Have you guys been doing that?
I haven't. Okay. I found that sticking with the R12, which the system was originally designed for, works the absolute best. When you go to the R134 system, I found that it's a lesser cooling capacity, and customers really aren't satisfied. We've done it on a couple of our own trucks, and it just didn't work, and we reverted them back to the R12.
Okay.
And R12 is still available, so.
Yeah. Dick, another thing that I think is important, too, Dick, is this. It depends on the car, because some cars have big condensers, and 134
right.
needs that giant condenser
yep,
that looks like a big smile across the front of your car. So if you've got a smaller car with a smaller condenser, 134 may not work really well for you. Here's something else that we believe. I'm with Tom. I don't swap those over unless you twist my arm, and I'm going to make you sign a waiver at the beginning that the outcome is on your shoulders. Here's the deal. In my opinion, 134 is better on the highway than 12, and 12 is better in the city than 134. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
And I think if you're going to be under 50 miles an hour, under 45 miles an hour, and you're going to be in the city all the time, you stay with 12, and 12 is still available.
Absolutely.
And I think 12 is now, isn't that pretty doggone close to 134 prices?
It's getting down there.
It is. That big discrepancy of maybe $2 an ounce has dropped to under a dollar, I think.
But it's down to cost these days.
Say that again?
what would a job tend to cost, both the labor on one side and the refrigerant on the other?
You mean to, all right, so what do you, what have you got, a bad compressor, Dick?
Yeah, the AC just started to act up inconsistently, and now I don't have any AC output at all.
What kind of vehicle is it?
It's a 95 Chevy Tahoe.
Tahoe? Oh, boy, he's got that 95 Chevy Tahoe. He's got that radial, that A6,
yep,
which is one, the second biggest piece of junk in the whole wide world. Okay, Tom, you bid it for compressor only. Give me a range. Compressor only.
Well, compressor only, you're going to be looking probably in around the 600.
I agree. Now, I'm going to bid it with an accumulator and an orifice tube and a flush just in case that compressor came apart and filled the system with metal, and I'm going to be at $1,000 to $1,200.
Absolutely.
Now, the worst-case scenario, Dick, and that's either one. We'll do either one of them, the Freon. I mean, 134 or the 12. It doesn't make any difference.
2 minutes.
The idea is, Dick, that we don't know what happened until we take it apart. If the compressor didn't blow up, then we still have to do the accumulator to get the warranty. We still should do the orifice tube. Another thing is your car 16 years old, and here's what scares me. How many evaporators have you had to replace, Tom, because you couldn't separate them from the stupid accumulator because the fittings are seized together?
A few.
Yeah. And so what happens on the older cars is that you've got aluminum to aluminum, and those two fittings galled together, and when we try to take them apart, no matter how hard we try and how close, you know, how proper we use the procedures, that fitting won't come apart, which means we have to go into the dashboard and replace the evaporator and the accumulator.
Suppose it's fundamentally still working. You just need to do an evac and recharge.
Well, here's the problem is if you have a failure under warranty, our parts people are going to want a copy of the work order, and if we don't put a filter, because the accumulator is a filter, if we don't put a filter in there, they're not going to give us warranty on your air compressor, and so that's the problem. Well, Dick, thank you very much for calling, and if you want to follow up anything at all, then give me a call, or I better yet, email is mark@marksalem.com, or you can call Tom at thunderbirdauto.com. Is it .com?
Mm-hmm.
All righty. When we come back, 602-508-0960. If you have a question, we're here.
Right here on your home for Intelligent Talk 960, The Patriot.
Become a fan of 960 The Patriot on Facebook or follow us on Twitter today. Just go to 960thepatriot.com for more information. 960.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, "This ain't good. Timing belt's done shrunk one size too small."
Well, if you have a timing belt that's shrunk one size too small, have you replaced any of those, Tom Fletcher?
Absolutely.
Mark Salem here, Tom Fletcher from Thunderbird Auto with two locations. He's got one at Reams and Grand and one in Peoria, and that's in Surprise, and Peoria is 88th.
And Thunderbird.
All righty. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, located on the south side of Main Street, just east of Stapley and Mesa. Thompson's been around since 1970. They're AAA approved, they're ASE certified Blue Seal shop, which means they're in the top 10% of all the shops out there, and they're a NAPA certified auto center. They were named Business of the Year in 2009 by the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and they're equipped to handle all major and minor repairs on any of your foreign or domestic cars. And I'm proud to have Thompson's Auto Repair on my repair shop list. Tom, let's go back to the phone real quick and talk to Rick. Rick, good morning to you. How can we help you?
Good morning. I got a 95 Chrysler New Yorker. And I got to put water in it every morning. And it got hot on me twice on the road. And I stopped quickly enough to make sure I didn't hurt anything. I hope I didn't put water in it, and it goes good for until the water dissipates.
Okay.
Do you think I have a water pump problem? Is that obvious that it is, but not to me it isn't?
I don't know. Tom, what do you think?
Are you losing water?
Yeah, but it don't. Sometimes I can see a puddle, see it dripping out, and other times I don't see nothing dripping out. And then it's just out of water. I put at least a gallon or so every morning before I even take off.
Okay. Tom, let me change his question. Pretend I'm Rick. Hi. Mr. Fletcher, how much would you charge me to tell me where my leak is in my car? What do you do for that? What's it called?
Well, basically, you want to run a pressure check on the system.
Okay, how do you do that?
Well, we take off the radiator cap, we hook up a pressure pump on it, and we put 15 to 16 pounds of pressure in it, and then we watch for leaks. Then okay. we raise the car up and look underneath to check the different areas of the hoses, the water pump particularly, where the weep hole is, and see if something's leaking there or on the intake manifold.
Okay. And how much does that cost?
Generally, that runs between $40 to $50.
Okay. So Rick, in your particular case, clearly you have a leak. But it could be a hose clamp. It could be a head gasket. It could be the water pump. It could be a freeze plug. It could be the heater
it's
coil.
It's towards the middle of the motor beat, like right under the transmission. That's kind of far back for the radiator to be leaking, I would think.
That could be an intake or a freeze plug.
It could be a freeze plug. Because your car, again, your car's 16 years old. Now, when you put freeze plugs in it, Mr. Fletcher, do you put the OEM freeze plugs in there, or what do you put in there?
We put in brass.
Oh, okay. And the reason Tom puts in brass, like all the rest of us do, is because brass, do you give a lifetime guarantee on brass ones?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do too. If we put the original equipment ones, the ones that came in your car, they'll rust out. But if we put brass in, they're there forever. But the bottom line is Tom and I can't tell you where you're leaking. But we can tell you that you're going to spend somewhere between $40 and $60 at most shops having them pressure test. And then once we do that, we can tell you exactly where it's leaking from. And then you can get an estimate for the repair at the same time.
Correct.
Well, I should ask for a pressure check on my radiator.
Correct.
Yeah, you're going to tell them, I've got a water leak that I'm having to feed every morning.
Uh-huh.
Would you pressure test my cooling system and tell me where it's leaking and bid the repair? That's what you need to do.
There you go.
Okay.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Great.
You betcha. Thank you very much. Let's scoot on over to David. David, how are you today? What can we do for you?
Pretty good. Listen to your show. I like your information.
Thank you.
I have a conversion question. I have a 77 Malibu that has a Rochester 2-barrel on there.
Okay.
And I'd like to put a Quadrajet 4-barrel on there. But I want to keep, you know, an emission legal. I'd like to put an aluminum intake on there with the Quadrajet. I like GM. I'd like to stick with the GM product. My question is, with the Quadrajet, is it a hard conversion as far as hooking up fuel lines and vacuum lines? And I've heard that when you get a 4-barrel Quadrajet, I guess there's a right way to have them rebuilt and a wrong way to have them rebuilt. You can still rebuild them and they still don't function correctly.
Okay.
So I've heard kind of pros and cons about how to get a rebuilt Quadrajet.
Okay. You can get a rebuilt Quadrajet and you can order it for a 77 Malibu with a 350 motor or 305 motor and with a 4-barrel on it. And they're going to ask you if it's got an electric choke or if it's got a heated choke. I would lie to them and tell them it's got an electric choke because that's going to be the easiest way to hook it up. They're also going to ask you if it's an automatic transmission. And then that way they're going to put the appropriate linkage on the shifter linkage, on the throttle linkage for your kickdown on your transmission. I wouldn't buy a Quadrajet. What's that carburetor? It's a Carter.
Carter.
Thank you. The Carter carburetor is going to cost you about $225. It has the two air fuel mixture screws right out in front, real easy to get. If I were you, I'd order a Carter for your engine. I would order an electronic choke, and I'd hook that wire to the S terminal on the alternator. Forget about the route and the fuel hose. You're going to go to the fuel pump, and you're probably going to take – there's a fitting there. You're going to take the fitting out, and you're going to put a barbed fitting in there, and then you're going to take a hose – 3/8 fuel line.
3/8 fuel line, yeah.
Thank you, Tom. And you're going to feed that all the way up to the intake of the carburetor, and we may put a fuel filter there, and we're going to put a couple clamps on there. You're going to have to deal with an air filter, and you're going to have to deal with hood clearance. But the only two connections you have to get right is you have to get your transmission linkage, and you have to get your choke hooked up. In addition to that, you got to plumb it right, so you got to know the difference between manifold vacuum and ported vacuum, and you got to hook things up the way they used to be. And you'll pass emissions with no problem at all. Now, the Carter carburetor is much better to work on. It's much more durable than the Quadrajet. It's much more dependable than the Quadrajet. And it's half as much money as a rebuilt or a new Quadrajet. I'll bet you a Quadrajet brand new for your car will run you $800. And I bet a reconditioned one's going to be $325 to $500.
Okay.
So that's what I do. I'd get a Carter, and you can buy that off the internet if you want. But just tell them, automatic electric choke, 4-barrel, 77 Malibu V8.
Okay. All right, thank you.
All right, good luck to you.
All right.
You know, when you redesign engines, it's always a big pain.
Absolutely.
And I tell people, I'm not the guy that wants that responsibility redesign your fuel system or your engine or whatever. Now, I'll hang exhaust on it for you that'll change the exhaust.
Right.
Because the risk doesn't, there's no risk
doesn't affect,
there.
Yes.
But when it comes to risk and reward, where the risk is huge and the reward is low, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist or somebody from Intel to know that that's not a good deal.
Correct.
So when we come back, we've got open lines available again. So if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. Every other time of the week, you can get me at mark@marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. And if you live in the Surprise or Peoria address, you can go to thunderbirdautomotive.com. Mm-hmm. thunderbirdautomotive.com, and you can talk with Tom and ask him questions if you live in those two or the surrounding communities as well.
1 minute.
That's the important part of a relationship. Now, folks, if you have a shop that you're doing business with, you should stay there. Especially if you have a shop that you've been doing business with and you've had a dispute and they handled it to your satisfaction, you should stay there. But if you don't have a shop, if you're looking for a reliable shop, here's my promise to you. Everybody on my website, thebestcarrepairshops.com, is a good place. You can go to marksalem.com. It's a little easier to find it that way. But they've all promised, and for the last 20 years, they've held up their promises. They're going to treat people fairly, and we use the Better Business Bureau to gauge whether we're doing something fair. So I promise you, and we've got a promise on our website, that we have $5,000 of our money sitting out there, that if you're not happy and the BBB says to the shop, pay them or fix it, and the shop doesn't, I will. Nobody else offers that guarantee. I'm Mark Salem. My cohort is Tom Fletcher. We'll be back in just a second right after this.
If you're from one of
the mechanic raised up from under my hood, and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. Timing belt's done shrunk one size too small. Those spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main prod spawner's nearly gone. Your injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. My co-pilot is Tom Fletcher, owner and operator of Thunderbird Automotive in two locations, Surprise and Peoria. Been around a very long time, a very trustworthy place, and the guys that I think the really best shops every once in a while say, I'm not the best guy for this repair.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you?
Oh, yes.
Well, what's nice is our group has so many different variants. So when they need Mercedes-Benz work, I send them to Vivian. And if they need BMW work, then Arizona Imports or BM Buyer Motor Works down in Chandler. We have that group amongst us.
For referrals.
And who's the transmission shop that you use?
My best is Sun Transmission in Peoria, yes.
All right, and he's on our list as well.
Absolutely.
And Adolph's is just down the street, and so both of those guys are on the list. Bob, good morning to you. Bob, how can I help you today?
Good morning, guys. I have a 94 Chevy with a 4.3 V6, and I'm the original owner. It has 297,000 miles. I looked through my service records. I can't find that the timing belt's ever been replaced.
I think you got a chain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you how to figure that out, and this is a common thing. I mean, I'm embarrassed to tell you that not too long ago, we sold a timing belt to a car that doesn't have one. and we were looking at the mileage, we looked at the owner's manual, but we didn't open the hood to determine that this was not the four-cylinder, it was the V6, and we bid the timing belt, because they were looking at, you know, what do we need to have done based on the maintenance. So I think, I'm pretty sure you have a chain. So, Tom, Thunderbird Auto, how can you check the timing chain, and how much does that cost?
Well, generally on that, you're going to have to pull the cover and check for the slack in the chain,
And if you're there, you might as well do the chain.
Well, absolutely, with that mileage, because generally those, I mean, chains, it's made of steel, and you're on a steel crank and everything else with a sprocket, so it all depends on how the vehicle's been driven and stuff like that, so basically, if you go down and visualize and you're going to keep this vehicle, I would definitely just go ahead and do the chain while you're there. It is going to have slap in it.
Now, one other thing, Bob. This is something that comes from the 50s.
Right.
You're going to take all the spark plugs out of it, this V6, and you got a distributor in the back of it, and you're going to pull the cap off and set it aside. And then you need somebody to help you on this, and you're going to put a big breaker bar on that front nut of the crankshaft. And you're going to push it clockwise until the rotor moves. Then you're going to turn it counterclockwise till the rotor moves. And the movement of the handle before the rotor moves tells you how much slop is in the chain. Are you getting me? Right?
You're just trying to figure out how much play is in the chain.
Exactly. Here's right. The problem with that. Nobody can tell you how much is too much or how much isn't too much. That's the problem. Because even if you do that with a brand new chain, there's going to be a little bit of play by changing directions of the motor, clockwise, counterclockwise. Here's what I'm telling you. I think it's just common sense. You can feel when there's too doggone much play. The handle of that 18-inch breaker bar will move 5 or 6 inches from the end of the handle. It'll move 5 or 6 inches before you start moving that rotor again. In my opinion, that means lots of slop. Does that help you?
If I've changed the oil every 3,000 miles, you think there's a chance it could still be good?
No.
2 minutes?
No, not at all.
Still
no.
Going to be worn?
And here's why. Is Tom's talking about sprockets. We don't know if that upper one is plastic or not.
Correct.
But we know the bottom one on the crankshaft is steel, and that's good. But the wear of the plastic up on the top, if it has a plastic gear in it, and I'm pretty sure it does, then we're talking about heat and wear on plastic-coated teeth.
Create slap.
And the easier thing to do would be drain the oil and stick a camera down in there and see if you see any teeth in the bottom of the oil pan. And if you saw pieces of white plastic in the oil pan, then you'd know for sure you needed an upper gear. So I don't think I'd assume, even if you changed it every day, if it would make any difference.
Right.
I don't think it would do that. All righty. Well, thank you very much, Bob. Thank you for your call. And we have open lines available, 602-508-0960. And you're sitting there saying to yourself, should I call in? And the answer is what have you got to lose? If you've got a car question or a car problem, maybe you've been told that you need to have your engine cleaned from the inside out. Maybe that engine flush is $399. Maybe that upper intake flush is $400. And you say, explain that to me. Then we're the guys that can help you understand what they're talking about. And we're going to ask you this important question. What symptoms do you have now? And we're going to see if we can match your symptoms to that repair. Because nothing's worse than to have a hesitation, then turn around and spend $400 and still have the hesitation. That means the shop's in big trouble. I'm Mark Salem. He's Tom Fletcher from Thunderbird Auto, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. For right here, it's 960 AM, The Patriot. We'll be back like we are every Saturday in just a minute.
Hello.
All righty. Tom Fletcher, my co-pilot for Thunderbird Auto, and we're going to talk about Gary, too. We'll tell a secret about Gary, and then we'll embarrass him. Gary's the guy that runs the other store. He's the co-owner.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Gary, and he's not going to hear us anyway. Mike, good morning to you. How can we help you today?
Yes, good morning. I have a question. I put my car in a shop to get it fixed. Won't mention the shop's name.
Okay.
But the guy, it never gets it done. He rebuilt the engine and put a warranty on it. And after about 3,000 miles, we had oil going everywhere. So he went back in, and it was supposed to be an oil seal. It turned out to be a broken piston. But the car's been in the shop for almost 3 months now, and I can't get him to finish it. And I can't figure out how to get him to finish it or just what to do about it. Is there any legal way a person can get him to finish it or something?
Well, I'll tell you what I would personally do. First of all, I think you should get online at the Better Business Bureau in Phoenix or call him up and find out what kind of a record he has, because if he has a bad record and everybody else is complaining that they can't get their cars out of his shop, then you know what kind of a mess you're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if he has a good record, you can write a nice letter to the Better Business Bureau and say, I need my car fixed, or I'm going to pick my car up, I'll have it towed to another shop and have it fixed and present him with the bill. And those are the choices I'd give him. Either you give me a definite time when this is going to be done, and certainly, Tom, if we had to rebuild an engine or put another engine in it, frankly, we're talking about 3, 4, 5 days at the most.
About that, yes.
So you give him 5 days, 5 working days notice, and tell him I'm coming with a tow truck. Now, you own the car, and if you can have the police go with you. But I think the question really is this a good guy that just got I mean, is he in trouble right now because he lost staff or whatever, or is he a bad guy, period?
And well, I kind of have the feeling he's just having some financial problems and business problems. He's a likable guy, but most con men aren't likable guys. But
Well, let me ask.
My frankly, is really getting tired of it, and I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, so let me ask you a question. This will help us out. What kind of car do you have?
It's a 98 Ford.
Ford what?
Well, it's a van. Okay. What do they call it? Vans.
Okay, Econoline.
No, it's not an Econoline. It's more like a station.
Okay. All right. And what? And it was 95. What motor did it have in it?
I'm not really sure. I can't remember. It's V6.
Okay, a V6. Okay, fair enough. And what did you pay to have that motor rebuilt? What was your final bill?
Well, it was $1,500, which I thought was reasonable enough.
$1,500?
Yeah.
So he rebuilt your engine for $1,500. He took it out, rebuilt it, and put it back in for $1,500.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Tom, give me a ballpark figure on a V6 and a Ford van. It's 95 Ford van to pull it out and put a rebuilt motor in and rebuild it. Give me a
98.
I would figure between 25 and 3.
I'd be even higher than that. I'd figure between 4 and 5,500.
Yeah, I thought it was awfully cheap that he was doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm worried now for you because that's too cheap. And now that he has a huge warranty concern, which basically he has to do the whole thing all over again, he never had enough profit in the first job.
Right.
Because there's $1,500 worth of labor just to get the motor in and out.
Yeah, well.
And so, but if you file a nice complaint at the Better Business Bureau, they'll help you prod him to get this done. And once you serve him notice that you want it done and you want a date, and if he doesn't do that and you take it someplace else, then you can go and hire an attorney. And once the van is fixed, you'll know how much it's going to cost, and you can go back after him if he's still in business.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob, that...
Okay, I have one other quick question.
Okay.
I have an 88 Ford that has a 7.5 engine in it, which gets terrible gas mileage, like 5 miles to the gallon.
Okay.
Is there much of a way to change that?
Give me that car again.
It's a Ford pickup, is what it is. It's a 1-ton pickup.
Okay.
And got a 460 in it.
All right.
And it gets about 5 miles to the gallon.
All right. I'm going to change your question. Tom, I have a 1-ton Ford pickup with, it's a carbureted engine. It's got the 460 in it. And it just really gets terrible fuel economy. How much did it cost to have you check to see if there's something that's fixable? What would you do?
Well, generally on that, I would take and run a test on the system as far as to find out on the fuel,
uh-huh.
What's going on there, and on the ignition as far as on the spark and timing and stuff like that, and make sure everything's timed properly. And if there's a vacuum leak or anything of that sort, there can be several things causing that problem. But
now, let me ask you this. What kind of tailpipe readings would we get if he's running really, really rich raw fuel? What would you look for? An excessively high or low what?
Well, you'd be looking for excessively high carbon.
Okay.
Hydrocarbons.
So, exactly. So, and if somebody brought it in and you tailpiped emissions that car,
mm-hmm.
and you found the HCs were at 4,500,
right.
and the CO was at 6 points,
right.
you'd know what was wrong.
Absolutely.
You'd
running
know that
richer than...
It's running richer than rich can be.
Absolutely.
And that is the answer, Mike. You have to have someone go in, look at the computer, see if there's any keys there, any signals there, any clues there, run a tailpipe test on it, and make certain... And then we also need to make sure that your speedometer is correct. Sometimes we take our GPS out on the interstate, and we found cars that have been 17 miles an hour off, and so as a result of that, they're 20% off on their fuel economy.
Right.
Yeah.
So make sure your speedometer's right, but that's how I'd handle it. All righty?
Well, One other little thing. It has an Edelbrock carburetor, and it did have some vacuum leaks changed, which seems to help it a hair. But I'm wondering if I could go to a Carter.
Well, no. The answer is no until you find out that the Edelbrock carburetor is causing the problem. I think your Edelbrock carburetor is the same as a Carter. I think they're one of the same.
Right.
As long as it's got the two air-fuel mixture screws that point up at a 45 degree in the front of the carburetor, mm-hmm. that is a Carter. But no, you're not going to change the carburetor till somebody can look you in the eye and say, if you let me change your carburetor, I'm going to shut off all that fuel coming out of the tailpipe.
Okay.
That's when you change the carburetor.
One other little bitty item. The thing, if you leave it set for like 2 days, then you got to prime it to get it started again. And I was wondering if possibly the bellows in the fuel pump was leaking gas into the engine. I can't tell by smelling it.
Carburetor is bleeding down.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with the fuel pump. Everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
But your carburetor, the bowls have some lead plugs in the bottom of them, and those lead plugs are leaking, or it's leaking into the engine, and that's the reason why you have to prime it. But that would be fixed on a carburetor overhaul if that's what they had to do.
Right.
But that's just a temporary problem. Like you said, if you start it every day, then you'll be all right. Listen, thank you very much. I want to remind everybody, too, that if you have a problem with one of my best shops and the Better Business Bureau agrees with your version and the shop refuses to abide by the Better Business Bureau decision, I will personally carry out the directives of the Better Business Bureau, including but not excluding repairing your car or issuing a refund up to $5,000. That's an important consideration. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with a transmission, Bob or Greg at Quality Transmission are the ones you need to call. They have years of experience, and they don't guess with your money. They're not going to tell you that they're going to take your transmission apart for $400 and then give you an estimate. They're smarter and more experienced than that. Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, just north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. And I'm proud to recommend Quality Transmission. You know, transmissions are all electronic these days.
Absolutely.
And what are you finding that when a transmission doesn't shift, is it need a rebuilt or does it typically need something else?
Need something else.
Almost always.
Always, yes.
And we had one not too long ago that the speed sensor fixed. We had one not too long ago where the throttle switch was bad. So when you look at those kinds of issues, then there's a lot that can happen to your transmission that it's an input to the computer that's shifting your transmission. You remember those Chrysler vans? You'd drive down the freeway, and you'd be in high gear
right. And
overdrive, and then all of a sudden it'd shift to first at 70 miles an hour.
Just pull your teeth out.
Yep, just exactly. Throw you into the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And people are all of a sudden it'd be like you're in fifth gear on a truck, and then you just flip it up to first gear and let the clutch out.
Right.
And the people would look at that and they go, what happened? Well, the transmission, the computer lost sight of how fast the vehicle was going, and all of a sudden it thought you were at zero, so it shifted you into first gear.
Right.
But let me ask you this. For me, we didn't figure that out for quite some time.
Correct. That was an illusionary problem.
It was a very difficult problem to track down. It was a very difficult problem. And then once a couple of guys in the industry nationwide figured out what it was, then they shared it with us through IETN and a variety of other websites, and then all of us go, okay, now we understand. So when it comes to technicians, you got ASE certified technicians?
Correct.
Okay. Why is that important to you?
Well, it's important to me because they stay up into the industry standards and keep track of what they're doing and what cars are going on, because they change every year. You know, the industry is just so complex. It's not simple like it used to be in the 50s and 60s.
Okay. And when your wife's car's not running well, is there one technician? I'm not going to ask you his name, but is there one technician you're going to give it to?
Me.
At my place, I've got guys that are really good in all kinds of areas.
Right.
But I can say, you know, I've got one or two guys there that's going to, but if I need an alignment, I'm going to use a different guy.
Absolutely.
And if you need somebody to do heavy line, you're going to use a different guy. So that each one of the technicians has an area of the car that they really like.
Absolutely.
And we try to feed them, I'm sure, like you guys do.
Right.
So let's talk about Gary, your partner. Is he a good guy?
Absolutely.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right.
Gary and I have been around since late 60s.
Okay. Yeah. And he's too scared to come on the show?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
He's shy.
He's shy. Okay, he runs the one at in Peoria.
Peoria.
And that's
Thunderbird and 88th Avenue.
Okay, Thunderbird and 88th. So if any of you folks live in that area, you stop by and just when you see Gary, I want you to go. Just call him a chicken. Call him a chicken.
2 minutes.
Because this isn't bad.
Oh, no.
No, it's you know, it's kind of like front counter stuff.
Right.
It's what we experience every single day, and it's kind of helping them reframe their question, like the guy with the water leak, Rick, we talked to.
Right.
Just reframe the question. It's, here's what I'm doing. What will it cost me to have you check it out and then give me an estimate? Because there's three parts of the bill. The diagnostic process, then the parts and the labor.
Right.
So all three of those are part of it. Now, do you ever, for me the answer is no, but do you ever wipe off the diagnostic fee or roll it into the actual repair?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And
under sometimes what circumstances? We do. Well, if it's a deal where we're tearing down to go after something, to okay. look at it, and we find it and the customer agrees to fix it, then we don't charge them.
Okay, because the diagnostic process was part of the way in.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, good enough. Now that you brought that up, that's true for us. And yeah. I think that's true for just about all the good guys in town.
Right.
If you're already on your way there, like that timing chain.
Right.
If we're going to take it apart and look at it, the timing chain, then while we're there, if you say go ahead, but if not, you still got to pay for going in and going out.
Well, right.
You know. So, well, listen, Tom, thank you very much for spending your Saturday with me. And for the rest of you folks, we wish, Tom and I wish you the best of automotive health. We wish that that your car breaks down when you're pulling into our parking lots.
Yeah.
That sounded bad. That sounded bad. If you're going to break down, we hope you're close to your repair shop. That's what I meant to say.
There you go.
And if you'd like to go to our website and find out the shops that I'm pretty high on, it's the MarkSalem.com and the best car repair shops. So until next week, thank you. Wear your seatbelt, don't drink and drive, and we'll see you here at 10 o'clock right here on 960 The Patriot.